as a result, Dr. Levin's orders left.
Okay, here we go.
I think we have to ask Dr.
We're continuing the Rambam. We're starting a new section of halachas, Baruch Hashem, to start the new year.
Wow.
Hilchas Zechiyah Umatana. The laws of Zechiyah. Zechiyah, probably the English word should be like acquisition. Umatana and gifts. Now, it's interesting. If you look in the little preview that the Rambam gives, I don't know if you have it in your English there, maybe on the page before.
Oh, yes.
There's a little preview. Usually, he lists the number of mitzvahs involved. And there ain't any mitzvahs here.
Uh-oh.
It says, Inyan Eilu Halachas, that topic of these laws, later is to know, Din Zocha Mina Hefker, how someone is able to acquire something that's ownerless. There's a process in that. Okay, heich yikneh, how do you acquire it? Ubama yikneh, and what means do you acquire it? And also, v'din noisein matana makabu matana, and the laws of giving a gift and receiving a gift. Ve'ezu matana chazeres, and what gifts can be returned, as it were? Ve'ezen chazeres, which gifts can't be returned? And these are going to be all the laws involved in it. Now, it's interesting, as juxtaposed, when we started the laws of mechira, there were five mitzvahs. When you're doing sales, there were mitzvahs. First of all, there's a mitzvah of sales and not cheating people in sales and this. Here, you can't cheat someone in a gift.
Right.
Okay, you can't cheat someone if taking something from Hefker or these things. So there's no real... So what we're saying is these are laws that you have a right to do this, but there's not a mitzvah to do that. And that's why there's no list of any mitzvahs in this.
Better ways to do it, I guess.
Just saying, what's the legal ways of acquiring it?
Business law.
Okay, so but there's no biblical prohibitions that can be involved in this or mitzvahs, as we will see. So the majority, the first perek, is going to discuss the chapter of how do we acquire something that is ownerless. So it's going to need a lot of definitions. How do you define it?
So this was the original Gemara, Ilim Metzias.
Shnai Moichsim Batalis. Okay, Aleph. Ha hefker, something that is hefker, something that is ownerless, okay? And the commentaries say right off the bat, what is considered hefker? So Rambam talks about this in the laws of Nedarim. Hefker is when someone says, these assets of mine are hefker. These articles of mine are ownerless. Doesn't matter if it's a movable object. Doesn't matter if it's property, and then he's going to discuss, and the rule is kol hakodem zocha. The first person who comes and takes it and acquires it gets it for himself and it's his. Now there's a lot of detail to that. How does he acquire it? How does he get it? Because the problem, not the problem, but the issue with acquiring hefker, there's only one side and not two sides. In normal business transactions, there's two sides. There's a buyer and a seller. Or even in gifts, a giver and a receiver. When something is hefker, there's only a taker and there's no giver. So we have to know how those laws work in terms of that. That's all going to be explained.
Because it could be multiple takers and you have to make
well,
sure
it's we're saying the first one first who first gets, player. Gets. But he has to do a halachically valid way of acquiring it.
I mean, because if he doesn't, then it might still be.
Then it's still. That's exactly what we're going to discuss about.
This is for Jews and non-Jews. Jews.
Well, there's no reason why a non-Jew can't take something either.
So does the moon belong to the United States?
The moon is ownerless.
Hefker.
Okay. Hefker? We're not talking about conquering lands now. Let's just talk about regular things now. Now, that's number one. V'chein hamid baros. And similarly, if you find in another way of hefker, things that are found in the desert that obviously don't belong to anyone. V'hanaharos, or things that are in rivers. V'hanacholim, or streams. Kol shebahem, anything that is in those areas, as the Rambam will elaborate on in detail, hefker, they are considered ownerless. A simple example, a fish swimming in Lake Ontario is ownerless.
Wow.
And if you catch the fish, he's yours. Okay, just a simple example. And it's hefker. The first one who comes first gets it. For example, and let's say these are cases in a forest or in a desert or whatever. Hasoving, that's some grass is growing. for eitzim and trees, for pears and fruits, shalino shal yar, that are growing off of a tree in a forest that does not belong to anyone. Okay? In other words, a place that anybody has permission to be there. It's not owned by anyone in particular. So nowadays it's a little bit different because the country said we own everything.
Yeah, yeah. Provincial park.
And the government.
State owns everything. So it's not Hefker. But I don't know how far you could take it. I mean, well, these laws probably apply till about, I don't know, the 1850s. I don't know. You could have gone out west somewhere before there were territories designed, and you would have Hefker. You know, it's interesting in Eretz Yisrael, how could things be Hefker? You have to think about it, because Shvatim owned it, and the lands was given up to people. Yeah. But we'd have to see that it's possible. There are possibilities where it's Hefker. But, you know, certainly, let's say, for example, you want to cut Aravos at one of the provincial parks. It wouldn't be so simple if you could just cut them. You know, you'd have to call somebody until you find anybody who has
human
has authority. Authority.
You'd be weeping about the willows before you.
So authority is. I just want to. I'm going to say, why do you want to blow a bomb up? Like, you know. So, but you really just.
I just want to shake them.
You couldn't take it. But in theory, this is in theory.
I want to whip them.
So you find it in a place that's ownerless. Okay, then you can have it. That's the general halacha. Now we go into some of the details of this. So how do you go about acquiring something that's hefker? Okay, now we know where the hefker things are. What do you have to do? So he gives examples. Hatsod dogim min hayomim. If let's say a guy is catching fish from the ocean or any one of these non-owned areas, there are exclusions to this, but that's the general idea. Uminan oharis, or from rivers. Or shetzad ofos uminachavios, or you're trapping, catching birds or different types of wild animals. Let's say wild animal in the desert or in the forest. Hoil ve'ein lehem balim, since these animals do not, these are wild animals and wild fish, they don't have any owners. So if you catch them, zocha, you have acquired them. However, that's only if that is in an ownerless domain. Ubalvad, with the condition, shlo yotzud bistei chaver, you shouldn't catch it while in somebody else's piece of property, for the simple reason it's called trespassing. Mm. What if there's a deer in my backyard, you know, and you want to trap the deer? You're not allowed in my backyard. It's my backyard. You're not allowed in there. All right. So now let's say something of yours that escaped that went into that guy's backyard. That'd be a different story. It's yours. But we're talking about a general, you know, hefker animal. So you can't do that. Why? Because of trespassing. But what if you did it anyway? Now, after the fact, you're not supposed to walk into a guy's house. Oh, look, there's a cow that's ownerless. For some reason, you know, it's an ownerless cow, the wild cow, you know. And it's in your friend's backyard. Okay, I want to go and get it. You're not allowed to take a step in my backyard. Get your foot off my backyard. It's my private property. Fine. I did it anyway. Listen, if you step on somebody's private property once, you know, you're not going to go to jail for that, even in Jewish law. So it wasn't a good thing you did, but you caught it anyway. Now, who's the owner? That's the question. Well, let's see. V'imtzotsham, if you acquire it there, Kona, you did acquire it if you made a proper kinyan. Right. However, the Rambam does not explain. There's a few prerequisites that have to be that he'll explain later. But first of all, it's talking about a field that is not safeguarded. Like it's not fenced in. Because we'll see there is another law that the Rambam will tell us that your field acquires things for you many times. Yes. But it needs conditions for that to happen. Number one, it's got to be a fenced in field so the animal couldn't get out. If the animal got in, let's say it was a one-way door, or he got in and then the door slammed shut on the animal, whatever, animal cannot get out of the guy's backyard. My backyard, I own it automatically, it's my field. Or, even if it's not guarded, but I'm standing there, I'm the owner standing there, watching the guy trespass, and say, get out of here, it's in my field. No, you don't get it either. Okay, so you have to, for your field to acquire it as a kinyan chatzer, it has to be completely enclosed, or you're standing there and watching the thing there. So the case here, the Rambam has to be seen where those two aspects are not happening here. It was an open backyard, the owner was on vacation, and you saw a deer going through, you're not allowed to go in there and catch him. But if you catch him, there's no reason why you haven't made a kinyan in it.
The land didn't
make a kinyan. Trespassing doesn't nullify your kinyan. You didn't damage the guy's property, right? So you have acquired it.
Okay. This might be a silly question, but the fence itself, does it have to be an actual fence?
It has to be something the animal can't get out of.
Okay, not like
it can't get out. Yeah. If it can't get out, then I've acquired it. If it can get out, then I haven't acquired
so
it.
So a bird doesn't...
Bird ain't going to work, man.
No, it won't work.
Now, vimhaya, let's say, what if there are some dogim bevorim? If there's fish in an enclosed pond... Okay, shell ball, and that belongs to somebody, like when Milton Eugene had his fish ponds when he
still
was...
He still has them.
That's just a little thing. He used to have big fish ponds when he was in, I forgot which, I think in Flesherton somewhere, he had a place, and he had big fish ponds. I mean, huge, like a little, small little lake.
How big is the fish?
I don't know, but he had fish ponds. Anyway, talking about it, it's not like a little, his koi on this little 2x4 nothing. No, it's a little thing in the backyard. But I'm talking about a big, big pond where you raise fish.
Like a little lake.
You raise, anyway. So anyway, if it belongs to somebody, right? So that's, so again, or let's say a wild animal bird in an enclosed area, let's say a fenced in enclosed area that belongs to somebody. Afal pishu bivar gadol, even though it's a big enclosed area, huge, that vahu mechusar tzeda, and it still has to be captured.
Because it's such
in other
a big
words,
area.
Even the owner himself would have to spend a little bit of time to get the fish out of the pond or to get the deer caught, whatever. Hareze shel bala bevorim. It belongs to the owner of the enclosures because that is a chutzar that's guarded. And now, if somebody would fish one out of the lake, Hareza Goslin, he is a thief. He has transgressed lo sigzol min haTorah, and therefore the owner could take him to court and get it back from him.
That's not good.
All right, we rented out a cottage this year, and within the property was a very large lake. It was enclosed on all four sides of the property.
That's a big property.
So such
a case, if somebody would, stranger would go, now they said we could fish there. So they said, you could fish all you want. We gave us permission. But if a stranger would go in and take a fish out of there, he'd be a ganef. Wow. That's a clear example of that.
Okay.
Now, Gimel, Avol Haloikeach. Now, here becomes the next thing. What if the guy... trap. Now, at one point, is the guy considered he acquired animal? Forget about another guy's property now. A lot of times you set traps, fish nets, traps, things like that. So let's say you put a fish net out into the Atlantic Ocean and some fish go in the fish net. Is that enough that I have acquired it? Or what if a fish stealer takes this little rowboat and goes into my fish net and starts taking the fish out of the fish net? We're not talking about we took the fish net and put all the fish into the boat. It's in the fish. Or let's say I laid out a trap somewhere in a forest and it caught a rabbit's leg, whatever, leg.
The property can acquire something.
Forget about the property now. There's no property acquiring
it. I'm saying, why can't a trap acquire it? Because it's trapped.
So that's the issue. Is a trap considered a kinyan?
No.
It's certainly not property. A trap is not property. And that's the point the Rambam is going to say in Halacha Gimel. If somebody takes the fish out of the traps that the other guy set, and he's in the middle of the ocean over there, let me just make sure I got all the footnotes over there. Yep. Okay. That's as opposed to this bavor, this enclosure. See, an enclosure, that's considered a chutzer. Here it's a trap. The fish ain't getting out of the trap. They're just trapped. Right? Or you took a wild animal out of its trap. Okay, one second. And whatever it's made out of, there's different ways that we made it, but it's certainly, I'm talking about a trap like a classic trap. You'll see in a minute. Kishi prusa b'mitbar, you set it in the desert, wherever, a non-owned place. That's very important. Because if it would be the guy's property already, that could be a different story, because maybe that would already be considered, like, it could be. Hareza osur medivrei sofrim. You're prohibited to take it out of that trap rabbinically. But But there really, you know, on a biblical level, there isn't any thievery, because he really, the one with the trap was not, did not really acquire it. And here's the rule. There has to be a receptacle that the animal has to be in for it to be considered that you made a kinyan on it. That's, you'll see later on, Rambam's going to spell this out exactly. A receptacle means, let's say you had a little, you know, like from the, when you call, when you got beavers, or what do you call these things in your backyard? Raccoons. And you call the guy to come in, he's, it's a real trap where the beaver goes in, the thing closes. Raccoon. Now he's in an enclosure. Yeah. That's not,
that's
a,
what you meant by,
when my trap is, you know, the kind you spring open and grab
a mouse trap.
Yeah. Mouse trap, something like that, or let's say a net trap, but not an enclosure trap. That's the point. So then you really,
so lobster get, traps really, are different when they get the lobsters in
I don't
the cages.
Know. Well, that would be considered completely trapped.
Yeah,
that, right.
That would be the owner.
So now the question is, because the guy who trapped it did not really make an actual kinyan, because it's not in an enclosure. But so biblically, he doesn't own it. But the rabbi said, you're not allowed to do it. And what do you think the simple reason would be?
It's not nice.
That's right. Dar Cheshon.
It's just not
nice. You have
nice.
To make peace. The guy went through all the effort to trap it. It's not good. Nice. You know, all kinds of issues. Guy went through the effort to trap it. You took it out of the trap. It's going to cause ill will. And therefore the rabbi said, you can't do this. Now the Rambam spells it out specifically. But if the trap was a receptacle, okay. And now that it really is in there, v'lokach mitoch hametzora, now the poacher takes it out of the receptacle trap, then harezeh gazlan, he is a real thief. Biblically, you could go to a court and take it out, because utensils of a person can make a kinyan form. So in other words, your land can make, a land that is safeguarded can make a kinyan for you, and a utensil that is an enclosed utensil is considered like your property that you make a kinyan. But a utensil that's open, as it were, like rope nets or spring traps or things like that, the animal really isn't enclosed in anything. He's just caught and can't get out. But that doesn't mean he's enclosed, and therefore it would not be as good.
Most rabbinic decrees are enforceable. This one, they're saying you can't do anything. It says
you can't
even go to court.
Okay, Osir Medivrei Sofrim, yeah, but you can't take him to court. Right, but we say you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, it's not nice.
We would discourage people to, the Bezdin would walk around and they would tell, give drushes and say, you shouldn't do this. Not everything is as enforceable. I guess they knew when to enforce, when not to enforce. You know,
because
it's going to also be hard to enforce it. Also.
Yeah, I would say.
Usually these guys are doing, nobody's watching.
It's not the easiest thing to catch out in the ocean.
It's very, you know, yeah, the guy, when you lay traps out, you go to work, come home that next day, you see that night what's been trapped. By then the guy, if he's taken, he ain't waiting for the owner to say, hi, you got your thing, I'm taking it from you. You know, it's very hard to enforce that law.
So, okay. Rabbi, the malacha of trapping on Shabbos. Is there a distinction between enclosed and not enclosed, or are they both considered?
I'm not sure.
I think we're, at least
For sure you can't do it.
Right.
The question is rabbinic or biblical. Usually the rule generally is, if you can catch it with one grasp, then you've transgressed.
Yeah.
So I would think if it was in any trap like that, you'd be chayv.
Yeah,
if it was a huge trap, then a house.
Big enclosure.
Trapped it in a big enclosure and you can't grab it, then you're not chayv, if I'm not mistaken. But this is all notwithstanding Hilchos Shabbos.
Right.
Now we're going to go to a different situation. Let's say the guy puts the trap, Mr. A puts the trap in Mr. B's field.
Okay,
well, we'll see. Depending on what kind of field he has.
Right.
What did we say? If you catch a deer in somebody's field and there's nobody in the field and it's not enclosed,
it's open.
Right? What did we say?
It's yours.
Did we say you can't? We didn't even say you can't do it. Well
we
shouldn't
do
it. But you get it.
It's
only trespassing, right? So let's see. So it depends on the type of trap we got over here. So haporeis mitsuda bistei chaver. A guy spreads a trap in another guy's field. Okay, this is not an enclosure type of trap, any kind of a simple trap. Vitzod b'chayov, and he catches something. Afal pisha einul reshus lasos doverza, even though he has no permission to do this, kona, he has acquired it. Hang
it's
on.
Field.
It's an, but it's somebody else's field.
Yeah, but it's not
so you say,
instant.
rabbinically because it wasn't fenced in. Well, that's what he's going to say in a minute. Okay, interesting. I guess he caught it and then took it.
Okay.
You see?
No, because if you're catching it isn't acquiring it because it's an open trap. It's not an enclosed trap.
So he says, rabbinically you have it, again, for the same reason of Darkei Shalom. In other words, just like we said before, if a guy lays out a trap in the middle of anywhere, if you take it, it's not a good thing. So the Darkei Shalom works the other way against the owner. Yeah. See what's going on? You're not supposed to set the trap there. You did trespass. But we said already in the previous halacha, if I put a trap in the middle of a public place and I set the trap, another guy shouldn't take it because of Darkei Shalom. So I do have a kinyan on it, but there's a Darkei Shalom issue over there. So now he's saying, Kana. But if the owner of the field is standing there when you put the trap out, the owner is in the field, and Omar says, my field has acquired it, then Kona Balasada, the owner of the field has acquired it, because the animal is indeed stuck there, and the guy with the trap doesn't have anything, because whatever kinyan he made is gone, because now it's in the guy's field. He has a better kinyan, it's called kinyan chatzer. And the animal is definitely guarded. It ain't going anywhere. And if the owner is there and it knows about this, that's what's important. Then the kinyan works in his favor.
So stop the owner from taking the trap.
Owner could throw the trap out anytime he wants. You're trespassing on my property.
What do we call it?
Darkei Shalom. That's before the owner knew it.
But what the same principle applies? Don't put your traps in my property.
You're not supposed to.
that's
right. You're not allowed to do it.
Therefore, you should say, if it traps something, it isn't yours.
But the guy went and took it already.
All the more than you should
Let's put it this way. If somebody went in your backyard and put a trap in there, he caught a prize steer that you would want. Yeah, but it's going to happen one of two things. Either you're going to get home before he gets home or he gets there before you get there. If he gets there before you get there, he's taken, he's gone. You know, you're going to hear that somebody came in your field, someone trapped the thing. Well, too bad. Now, if you come first, Shelly, you say, good, thank whoever it is. Thank you so much. I'm taking it.
Trap back.
That's the thing. All right. Hay is an interesting case.
So what we're saying, though, in this law is that if Shelly came home first, he shouldn't really take it because of Darkei Shalom?
I don't know, because he's saying, Zoch Soli Sadi, my Sada has acquired it.
He wasn't here. You have to be there at the time, though.
Oh,
you have to be standing
outside, you mean
there.
At the outside.
You have to be there when it was trapped, right? Not without he found it.
I'm not sure. My commentator says it's...
Look at Kaf Tet.
No, only by... Lamed Gimel. Only by sort of Hefker we said this Darkei Shalom. But
right.
Putting your friends without permission, and certainly when he's there, he gets it.
But what is Kaf Tet?
Doesn't matter if... it doesn't matter. The owner gets it.
The owner gets it. So he comes home, finds
he's saying
it.
It's mine.
First...
Because my chutzner was coined.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's standing there. That's not me standing when it got caught. Before it got caught, he can be standing there after it got caught.
Yeah.
Shelly came home. He all of a sudden he hears moo in the backyard.
Moo.
He says at the time.
He says a trap.
Elk.
And the other guy's not there. So who's got it? And you had no right to put the trap in my backyard.
No, because it's an open field.
But he's the owner.
But you have to be there.
So he's there.
Now he's there.
He's there now.
So there's no distinction.
Now, if the trapper was there, maybe, and then the owner's there, then maybe. We're saying if the trapper traps it and takes it before the owner comes, and the trapper has it.
The trapper's in the middle of taking them, but he hasn't taken them.
Okay, I don't know. I'm just saying that's the point he's saying, that, you know, but if the owner sees it and says, this is mine, the other guy's
that's biblical.
Because it's going to be your field.
That's your field. That's
right. But if we look at the beginning says, Aporis mitsuda besadeh chaveru. Bitzad ba chaya or off. Afa pishein l'rishus lasot. Devar said kana.
If he takes it,
yeah.
Only, but that's when he takes it,
right?
But if he doesn't take it,
and it says.
But if the owner's standing,
the note says divrei shalom at the bottom.
I know because he's taking it already.
Okay.
Let's say the guy trapped it, took it home, and the owner says, you know, I want it. It was in my field. I'm going to take it back.
No, Ken, he's got it.
Right, but if he's saying I'm standing, because look at the next. That's why the commentators say there seems to be some steerers in this Rambam itself. It's not so easy, but here, the next line says, but if he's standing and failing, says my field is coin it. So he gets it, and look at its footnote Lamed Gimel, and the kinyan of the Baal Metzuda is out, and it's no Darkei Shalom.
Yes.
So that's the point.
It's scripture.
Okay, hey, let's do one more. Dogim shakafsu l'chasfira, a fish jumped into your boat.
Whoa.
Okay, or you're trying to catch it, and it fell off the line and fell on your boat, yeah. or whatever. The fish now is on your boat, however it got on your boat. Kona balasvina, the owner of the boat, acquires it. Shazu kechatzar mishtamersi, it's like a safeguarded chatzar, and you're kona it by just standing there without even saying anything, because it's enclosed. If it wasn't enclosed, you'd be sinking. Now, there is a problem. There is something called a chatzar maleches. Let's say your car. You know, or a moving chatzir. No. A moving chatzir is not koine as a chatzir. Okay? Oh. But here, the boat is not considered a moving chatzir. Ve'eino chatzir malachas. It's not considered a moving chatzir. The dushan usually work. Shamayim heim shemalachas. The water that's moving it. Ve'eino lechas malachas. It's not going itself. So let's say a cow. A horse is galloping. And then a bird sat on the horse while it's galloping. No. It's your horse. You can't say my chutzner was koine because it's a moving.
The same thing with your truck.
It's a moving chutzner.
You do the same thing with your truck. Then
truck would also be a moving chutzner.
But
a boat is not
a motorboat.
A motorboat would be a moving chutzner, but a boat that is not going on its own is considered a regular chutzner, and you're koine of the fish that comes into that.
Don't laugh.
So let's just do one more. It's real short. Yeah.
So if it's a rowboat,
that's that.
Is that a moving chatzar?
Depends if you're rowing or
not. Right. If you're rowing, it is. And if you're not,
I would imagine if you're rowing,
it's drifting.
It's a drifting.
Yeah, it's a drifting.
I leave my boat on your private property.
Okay.
And something jumps into it. Whose is it?
That's a good. It's still same halacha as the trap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same halacha as the trap.
The enclosed.
Okay. Let's do one more short one. Vav. Gir shemes. A non-Jew dies, v'loholi liyisrael achshizgar, and he didn't have any kids after he converted. Halacha.
Ger.
What did I say?
Non-Jew.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Ger, a convert. Sorry. Ger, a convert who dies and didn't have any children. He had assets.
He didn't have any children after he converted.
After he converted. Yeah. If he had kids before he converted, they're not his kids.
Right.
He doesn't have a wife. Single convert. No Jewish relatives of his own. He dies, leaving $20 million.
Whoa.
Now, if he would have written some kind of will, that's one thing. But he didn't write anything.
Oh, no.
So, Ein lo Yorshim, he has no inheritors.
Right.
Ella, what's the law? Kala Kaidim, Vehechzim, so whoever jumps in first and takes, gets it to make a proper kinyan, they get it.
Not the courts?
Who?
The courts.
Like courts have no right to take your money. It's not yours.
But some stranger will...
Anybody. So if the court wants, they could come and take it first. Right? Now, there is a halacha, an interesting halacha. If let's say this guy is selling a piece of land as a neighbor next to him.
The law is the neighbor always has first right of refusal. Yes.
Let's say this ger died. He had a property right next to this other Jew. You might think that Jew will get the first right of refusal, but not so. Because when the person takes it, they don't take it as a sale. They take it really. When you take something from Hefker, what's it more like? Buying something or getting a gift?
It's more like getting a gift.
So therefore, ve'ein bal hametzer yochel esalko, the neighbor who would legally be able to get it if it was a buying case, can't remove the guy who squatted on the field first. And he can't take him out the dumb and say, listen, I'll give you the money for it and get out. Because that would be like first right of refusal, sort of. Let's say, here, it's worth $100. I'm giving you $100. Just get out. I mean, no, the guy has the field and the neighbor has no first rights of acquisition. Why? Shizoka matona, he is like a gift. And just like if the guy wanted to gift the field, the next door neighbor can't say, well, you know, if you're gifting it already, gift it to me. No, I don't like you. I like him. That's why I'm giving it to him. I have a dafka not giving it to you. So your first right of refusal is only if you're going to sell it and make money. So then you have to let me, I'm next door, I'll give you the same price anyone's giving. You have to give. But if it's gifting, it doesn't work. And when you're acquiring from Hefker, from a ger, it's like a gift. And therefore the neighbor, unfortunately, does not have the first rights.
Is that halakha? You have to give your neighbor the first right?
If you're selling, and he's paying you fair market value, whatever you would have gotten. But that was really more with farms, not with two homes.
That. We learned that.
No, I don't, I'm not sure.
We did that.
But this would be like farms, not like houses.
Never heard of that.
Well, it makes sense. A guy wants to have two contiguous pieces of land.
You decide you want to sell it. I want to sell it to salmon.
No, you know, because the land doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. Remember Shemitah? Remember every Yovel, you know, goodbye land? So you'll have to let it lay fallow. It's God's land. And God says, you want to use the land? Fine. You want to sell it? Fine. But if it's the guy next door, God says you have to sell it to God. Be a mensch. I'm not saying you've got to pay him less. And whatever anybody else would pay.
And if he does, Sam doesn't want it, then you can sell to whoever you want to.
Okay.